If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to begin a new series today, which I told you about last week, okay? And I don't know if anybody went to Genesis 37 and read ahead, but we're going to begin a new series. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you a little bit about this new series and how it came about. Several months ago, during one of my quiet times with the Lord, I was reading the story in Genesis about Joseph. I was just reading it, and the Holy Spirit just started pouring out over it. Just started pouring out through the scripture, and I read the whole thing, and He began to really reveal some things about my life personally to me through this story. And so, because I wanted to know all that I could, I started to read books, I read articles, I listened to sermons about these passages about Joseph, just to gain insight from them on my own walk with the Lord. And then this series just developed out of the outflow of what the Lord was teaching me about this story. Now, I've named this series The 10 Tests. Okay, that's what I named the series, because there's 10 specific tests that Joseph had to go through in order to fulfill the purpose that God had for him. There were 10 tests, okay? Here's the interesting thing. At an early age, see, God had revealed Joseph's future in a dream. He had given a dream. God made a promise to Joseph at an early age. But there were a lot of things that happened to Joseph between the time that God showed him the dream, showed him the promise, and then when the promise came to fruition. There were a lot of things. Now, I don't think that things just happened to Joseph. They did not just happen. I believe that they were tests that Joseph had to go through and pass. I think he had to pass them in order to prepare him to fulfill God's purpose and vision for his life. And as I studied these and applied these tests to my own life, I've come to a conclusion. I've concluded that every believer must go through the same tests and pass before they're able to reach the purpose and fulfill the promise or the dream that God has for our lives. I believe that every believer has to go through these 10 tests. Here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to know. God has a purpose for every single person. Yes or no? Yes, He does. Your life has a plan and a purpose for the glory of God, but every purpose begins with a promise. Every purpose begins with a promise. And through this series, we're going to discover how to recognize the promise, how to know the promise is from God, and how to walk in fulfilling the promise, the purpose that God promises us. Sound fair? All right. Now, there are 10 tests. So this is going to be a 10-week series, but it will take us longer than that because of some of the fall ministry that we have to insert in there. But I'm really, really excited about sharing with you what the Lord has been teaching me, and I really believe that you're going to identify with Joseph and discover some things about your own life that you might not have realized before. I believe that the bell is going to be rang a little bit, and that there will be some truths in this series that will change your life. So I'm going to ask you to make this series a priority. I'm going to ask you to do your very best to make sure that you're here and participating in this series, okay? I want to ask you a question, and you don't need to answer this. This is rhetorical, but I want you to think about it. Do you believe that God has put something in your heart that you want to see come to fruition? Now, I want you to answer that out loud. I just want you to think, has God put something in your heart? Has He given you a dream that He wants to see that you know come to fruition? Is there something that you desire for your life that you want to see happen? Not just a goal, or like a financial goal or a career goal or even a family goal. And God cares about all of those things. He cares about them and He wants to see those through. But I want you to think spiritually with me today. What is your dream or your purpose in reaching your potential for the kingdom of God? Have you ever thought about that? What is my potential about reaching for the kingdom of God? Because whether you realize it or not, your talents and your gifts and your personality is designed by God for the purpose of bringing glory to Him and advancing His kingdom, not yours. That's why we exist. We exist for the eternal. We exist for the eternal. You and I exist to bring glory to God and point as many people as possible to Him. That's why we exist, right? If you have ever looked at someone who you can see they are fulfilled, you say, like, they're blowing and going, they're fulfilling their purpose. And you've ever wondered why not? Or maybe you've ever thought, well, what's stopping me from fulfilling this dream? What's stopping me from fulfilling this promise or this purpose for me? And those are the questions that I want to answer in this series. Genesis chapter 37, stand in the honor of reading of God's word. Let's begin reading in verse 1. We'll go all the way through verse 11. But before we do, we're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of the word of God to us. Okay, would you do that? So, Father, I pray, Lord, now as we've just set the tone for this series, and Lord, what you want to teach us, I pray that you would now reveal truth to us through your word. Let it speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you guide us by your power? Guide us by your power. And Lord, I pray that I would empty myself and you would fill me to overflowing, Lord. I submit to you now. Change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's begin reading. Starting in verse 1. So Joseph settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. And this is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, now that's important, he was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flock, and he worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. I don't know if I pronounced those right, but that's what we'll call them. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things that his brothers were doing. Now, that's significant right there, all right? Now, he's 17. He just reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. And then it's in verse 3, Jacob, now, in some translations it says Israel, because Jacob, that is the name Israel. That's where the nation is named after, Jacob right there. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph. It was a beautiful robe, okay? But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They knew. And they couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Listen to this dream, he said. I can just hear him now, 17-year-old snotty kid. Listen to this dream, brothers. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed down low before mine. I can hear him saying that, can't you? His brothers responded, so you think you'll be king one day, do you? Do you actually think that you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way that he talked to them. Soon Joseph had another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. Listen, I've had another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed down low before me. This time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers, and his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I, your brothers, actually come and bow down to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous, his father wondered what the dreams meant. God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now, I want you to remember that Joseph was 17 years old when he had these dreams. And these were prophetic dreams from the Lord. It was a promise from the Lord about what was to happen. But I want to show you another scripture really quick. In Genesis 41:46, you don't have to turn there. I just want to show you. But he was 30 years old when he began serving in the courts of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He was 30 years old. So he was 17 when he received the dream from the Lord, which was a promise. He was 30 when he finally stepped into that promise. From 17 to 30. Why? Why did it take so long for Joseph to step into what was promised him, the dream that God gave him? Joseph was destined for great influence. From the beginning, he was destined for it. God gave him the dream at an early age, but he had to endure some testing. And I believe that the testing that Joseph went through is the same testing that we all must go through, and we'll have to pass these tests before we step into the promise. And the first test, which is the title of this message, is the pride test. It's the pride test. Now, before I get into the pride test and what that is, and that's going to be later on, I want to extract a few things from this passage to lay the foundation so that we can learn a little bit where we're going. The first thing, if you're taking notes, the first point is that God has a promise for you. I need you to know that. God has a promise for you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And can I tell you this? God's thoughts and plans for you are higher than your thoughts and plans for you. God has something in mind specifically for you to do for the kingdom of God. There is something that you have been designed that no one else can do for the kingdom. There's something that I can do that you can't do for the kingdom. That's why we should never compare or be jealous about what other people are doing in the kingdom. What jobs we have, we should never compare that, because no one's job is more important than the other in God's economy. It's just not. We tend to rank kingdom jobs. We'll rank them ourselves in our flesh. But my job as pastor is not more important in the kingdom than your job that God has for you to do. It's just different. And here's the deal. Because our job and purpose was designed for us, specifically for us, before the foundations of the world, if we do not step into it, if you don't do it, guess what? It will not get done. No one else will come in and do the job for you. If there's anything that I want you to remember and let you sink in for you today, it will be this. God's plan and purpose for you is bigger than your plan and purpose for you. God's dream for you are bigger than your wildest dreams for you. Whatever your dreams are, God's dreams are bigger. I promise you, you cannot outplan and you cannot outdream God. He has a huge plan for you. And God, remember, God is a good God, and he has a good plan for you. And God's good is better than your good. I can hear what some of you might be thinking. Well, if you just knew the messed up family I've come from, if you just knew the craziness that is my life, if you knew the things I've done, if you knew, see, then you wouldn't think that I would be destined for greatness. I don't think, Pastor Daniel, that I'm destined for greatness. I need you to hear me right now. God doesn't care about the situation that you come from. He does, but he doesn't. You get me? He doesn't care if your family is crazy. It doesn't matter to him what situation you come out of. In fact, I think that God thinks the crazier, the better. By anyone's standards, Joseph's family had a truckload of problems. If you'd ever do any study about this line, if it's talking about all the brothers and the moms, okay, now follow me for a second. Joseph's dad, Jacob, okay, Israel, he tried to trick his grandfather, Isaac, into giving him the family fortune instead of his older brother. You remember that? Okay, that's a no-go right there. That fell apart, and then Jacob had to run for his life, remember that, because his brother vowed to kill him. I'm going to murder you. That's it. That's trouble. Jacob married two of his cousins and then two other concubines. Why he would do that, why any man would want to, I don't know why, but he did. He had four. And between all of them, they had 12 sons and daughters. Okay? There was constant competition and conflict and fighting within this family between all of the children and all of the mothers that were there. It was one of the biggest messed up families, yet God still raised up Joseph within this family, and he had a plan to partner with Joseph to be a champion for God's great purpose for the ages. We're sitting here today because what God did in Joseph's life then. So I'm telling you now, if you think that God can't use you or doesn't have a big plan for you because your family, the family you were born into, or the craziness that is your life, think again, because you're a prime candidate to be used by God in a big way. God always uses the unlikely in the unlikely circumstances at the unlikely times to do the unlikely. And here's the truth. Let's just get real. Everybody comes from crazy. And you're right. We're all crazy. God works through messed up people, and that should be good news for the whole lot of us. So number one, God has a promise for you. Number two, how can we know God's promise? How can we know God's promise? Now, I want to show you a passage in Numbers, okay? Numbers 12, in verse 6, it's on the screen. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Look at this. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house, and I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the Lord. He sees from the Lord. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, here's the reason why I wanted to show you this passage. The question is, how can we know God's promise? That's the question on the table. How can we know God's purpose for us? Okay, that's the question that burns in all of us. Every one of us has this question. How can I know my purpose? How can I know what God has? And I've had conversations with you. I know. But I want to tell you something that's more important than knowing God's purpose for you. You know what's more important? Knowing God. If you want to know about God's plan and purpose for your life, get to know the promise maker. It's that simple. Get to know the one who has the plan. Get to know the one who makes the promises. Get to know God. Don't pursue the promise. Pursue the giver of the promise. And God will not only reveal the promise to you, but he will fulfill the purpose. And he will give you all the opportunities. He'll give you all the preparation. He'll introduce you to the right people. He'll get at the right times, right? He'll do that. And he'll put you in the right place. He will orchestrate it all. You won't have to orchestrate a thing. He will do it. The reason God spoke to Moses face to face and plainly, it said, was because he is faithful in all of my house. In other words, he was saying, Moses is seeking me. He's faithful to me in everything. He's not just seeking my promise. He's not just seeking my purpose for his life. Moses is seeking me. And because he is seeking me, I'm going to reveal my plan to him. And I'm going to do it face to face. And I'm going to speak plainly to him. There will be no doubt about what I want for my servant Moses to do. So if you want to know the promise and the purpose, get to know God. Get to know him. Now here's the caveat. Some of our dreams and some of our things that we think we want to do with our lives are not from God. I wanted to be an architect. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up. Man, I loved architecture. I still do love architecture. I love design. I love to draw. I love all of those things. I wanted to be an architect. I wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to be able to design my own house. That is what I wanted to do from the time, I was little until the time, I was what I wanted to be. I got a job working for an architect firm. I got into architect school. Somehow I got accepted. There was only one problem. I was horrible at math. I hated math. I mean, absolutely hated it. And if you know anything about architecture, it is not short of math. And it didn't take long, though, for me to realize that my dream for my life was not from the Lord. It was not what he had designed me to do. It was something that I enjoyed, but it wasn't what he designed me to do. Here's my point. All of us have dreams and plans of selfish ambition. All of us do in the flesh nature, and they're not from the Lord. So how do we get to know the ones that are from the Lord? We get to know him. That's it. Just spend time with the Lord. See, you spend time with him, you get to know God as a friend. See, then he starts to speak with you face to face, plainly, so that you can hear his plan for you. But listen, I'm going to tell you, he will not unless you spend time with him. He won't do it unless you spend time with him. See, some of us want to hear from God. Some of us want to, but we're impatient and we're insistent that someone we do not know intimately speaks intimately with us. And that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And you say, well, my intentions are good. I want to hear intimately from the Lord. And the question he's asking, are you spending intimate time with me? Do you know me intimately? Because until you do, I will not speak intimately with you. And here's what I know from my life personally. The closer that I've come with the Lord through time and obedience with him, he has revealed more and more and more of what he wanted me to do. And the purpose for my life became clearer and clearer. The clearer he is, the clearer his purpose and plan is for my life. And I have realized that the Holy Spirit then jumps in and reveals what I must do to come closer to the Lord and closer toward fulfilling his purpose for our life. See, you don't have to figure that out on your own. You do not. The Holy Spirit is right there. Here's the way. Walk in it. Here's the way. Here's the way. This is what I want you to do. And you're listening because you're intimate with the Lord. You're listening and you're obeying. Number one, God has a promise. Number two, and we get to know the promise by spending time with him. Now, I want to go into a little bit. I want to do a foundation. Now that we've laid that, I want to talk about the pride test. I want to talk about the test itself. Now, when you begin to understand, now there will come a point, and it's different for everybody. For Joseph, it was when he was 17. It wasn't fulfilled till he was 30. For me, it was young, and it's I'm just now getting to where I'm beginning to see, step into God has for me. For some of us, it may be different places along the way. Okay, but when he does, here's the deal. When you begin to understand the promise that he has for you with for your life and you get that promise, you get that dream, don't brag about it. Write that down. Don't brag about it. That's what Joseph did. That's the reason I say that, because that's what he did. Joseph failed the pride test. And he failed it because he went out and he told his brothers about it. Now, Joseph was only 17, so we have to give him a little bit of grace here. But let me tell you this truism. Bragging is a sign of immaturity. It's a sign of immaturity. I'm going to tell you, 17-year-olds aren't the only ones that brag. You can be 30, 40, 80, and you can brag. Everyone is susceptible to bragging. If you can't handle the promise, you won't be ready to step into your purpose. If you can't handle it, if you get prideful over the dream that God has given you about your future, if you get boastful about that, you will not see the dream fulfilled until you pass the pride test. Because God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to handle. You follow me? If God is speaking to you and he reveals to you a promise about your future, and you get all prideful and arrogant and boastful about it, God will never let you step into it because he knows that you're not ready to handle it. Do you know what that means? It means, one of the things that it means that we're going to have to learn to control our tongues. If you can't control your tongue, whether in bragging or in general, it will be impossible for you to move into your future. If you fire off at people and you get upset and you feel like you always have the need to say something, if you're always correcting others, if you always feel like the need to enlighten others on their behaviors and their actions, you can forget it. You will not move into your future. If you cannot control your tongue, you will never step into God's purpose for your life. Now, taming the tongue is a part. That's a section of the pride test as you take it. Genesis 37, back to our passage 8, it says, and they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way that he talked about him, about them. All, and in some translations, it says the way he used his words. They hated the way that he talked about his dreams, and they hated the way that he talked about himself. Now, sometimes we're sophisticated enough that we will cleverly find a way to talk about ourselves without talking about ourselves. Do you know how we do that? It's by the way we talk to others. If you're constantly bragging, constantly correcting, constantly enlightening, constantly running your mouth, do you know what everyone says about someone like that? Do they know what they say? You know what that phrase is? They say, you're a know-it-all. You know what I'm talking about? You're a know-it-all. Now, that person might not have said, I'm awesome and I know it all. They may have never said with their mouth, I know more than you, but they said that about themselves by how they speak to and down to other people. Now, that's just practical. I'm just giving you practical information. But the first thing that I thought was, if Joseph was a prideful person and he just had that, then why did God give him such a powerful dream and a powerful promise? Why would he do that? Well, let me tell you why. He gave it to him so he could reveal the real condition of Joseph's heart and expose the things that God wanted to and needed to change about Joseph. That's why. See, the truth of God's word will always expose the heart, because that's what God cares about. God cares about the heart. When we're spending time in the Word and God gives us a big promise and a big dream, He will do that, and then He will reveal the things that He needs to get out of the way in order for you to reach the promise. Hebrews 4:12 is this, a familiar passage. You know it. It says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. And that translation there is like a scalpel, cutting between soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it exposes the innermost thoughts and desires, the intentions of the heart. That's what God cares about. And back in verse chapter 37, Genesis says, but Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things about his brother. I'm going to read this, what they were doing. All right, now, so before Joseph even had the dreams, before he even had one dream, he was already being critical about his brothers. I mean, he was the tattletale. Did you catch that in the passage, by the way? Oh, daddy, here's what old brother was doing. He was already favored. The scripture tells us that. He was loved more, okay? He was favored. His father had the coat. He had already given him a coat. He had elevated him in the family. He's already seeing himself as superior than his brothers. He's already viewing himself that way. Did you know that one way that we brag on ourselves is to call out the faults of other people? Did you know that's one way that we elevate ourselves, is to call out the faults of other people? Here's what I'm learning. When we start to brag about the call of God on our lives and we put others down to lift ourselves up, or we brag about a gift that we have, or we brag about things that we've done or things that we're going to do for Him, when we start bragging, He stops working through us. Not because He changed His mind about wanting to partner with us, not because He changed His mind about the promise and the purpose that He has for our lives, but because we're letting pride block the work that He wants to do. I want you to listen to me. God will not share His glory with another, including you. And when we begin to take the glory that is meant for God and we turn it on ourselves, it will stop the work of God, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit over your life stops. And for some of us to stop bragging, some of us to stop putting down others, we're going to have to stop talking. Because some of us, when we talk, we brag. We talk about it. See, and I'm including myself in this. Remember, this message is out of the overflow of what the Lord is teaching me. I've gone through this test. I am still continuing to go through this test. And I have failed at this test many times as it has come over the years. Oh, and by the way, these tests are not one-and-done tests. You think, what? I want you to think of it like if you were in school. When you're in elementary school, they teach you math in elementary school, right? You have a math test. But you have to pass a math proficiency to graduate to the next. You have to have all your proficiencies to graduate. But as you get older and go to other grade levels, do you still have math that you have to take? And is it harder than the other tests that you had to take before? Yep, middle school math, it's different math, it's harder math, it's still math. But it's there. When you get to high school, same thing. And then Once you graduate and you pick a course of what you're going to do, maybe for your career, and you get into college, and then you have math. And some of you, like, because of the purpose that you have, that math test, then you might have to have more math. So, like, have more math being an architect than you would be if you were going to be a dancer. You see what I'm saying? And so you have to, the tests, they keep different degrees of tests. It's the same way it is with this test. So at different pivot points in my walk with the Lord, He has progressed me through the promise to fulfill His vision, and I have been faced with the pride test over and over again because it reveals the heart. The pride test reveals the heart of where I am on the journey. There's something that I want to point out. When it comes to bragging and pride and bragging and the stop talking, by the way, the problem really isn't your mouth. If you have a problem talking or bragging too much, it really isn't your mouth. Your mouth is a gauge. It's an indicator. And I want to show you what the problem is. Matthew 12:34 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Matthew 15:18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." You don't have a mouth problem. You have a heart problem. And if pride is in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. Pride, listen to me, pride always has to be heard. Pride always has to be understood. Pride always has to give its opinion every time, whether asked or not. Pride can never be quiet. It can never be quiet. And some can try and try not to talk and conceal the pride. You try to bite your tongue until it's almost in pieces. And it is good to exercise discipline in the area of your tongue. And you should, and we're taught to. But what needs to happen is God needs to do a work in your heart, because that's the root. See, God gave the dream to Joseph when he was 17 because he wanted to be able to step into his purpose and promise when he was 30. And he needed time to work in Joseph's heart. Here's some good news for you that are bad test takers like me. Because of Jesus, you will never fail a test with God. Because of grace and mercy, God just allows you to take the test over and over again until you pass. In other words, God never puts an F on your paper. He just puts redo, 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 redo until you pass the test. God may have to take you lower and lower and lower and lower still until you pass the test, but He will get you to pass the test somehow. That's good news. Listen to me. If you're between the promise and the purpose, if you're between those, God may have given you a big dream and a promise. He can work in your heart to reveal what needs to be thrown out so He can get you at a place where He can lead you to step into your purpose. Now, you might have been like I have been, where you recognize, yes, I have a dream. I have a dream. But there is pride there. And you might say today, I'm convicted about that. I know there's pride, so what do I need to know? Here's what you need to know, and here's point number three. Insecurity is the root of pride. That's what I need you to know. Insecurity is the root of pride. If I were to ask the question, how many of you deal with pride? All of you should raise your hand. I'm not even going to ask, because I know the answer to that question. Because everyone deals with it. No one is exempt from pride. And even the most modest person among us deals with pride. And the question to me is not if you've dealt with it. The question to me then is, why do we keep dealing with it? Why does it keep cropping up? Here's why. Pride is not a tree that needs to be pruned. Pride is a tree that needs to be absolutely cut down. It needs to be cut down. Sometimes when we deal with pride in our lives, we just try to prune some things out. We just try to snip, 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 snip. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on this. But then it comes back, because there is a root, and the root of pride is insecurity. It's insecurity. Do you know, if you know a prideful person, if you know a boastful, arrogant person, if you know someone who's always running their mouth, if you know the know-it-all, you know who you really know? You really know an insecure person. That's who it is. Let me say in another way. Pride may be coming out of their mouth, but it's insecurity that is in the heart. And we will never deal with pride until we deal with insecurity. Because insecurity and the other insecure things that we deal with, inferiority, fear, rejection, and fear of rejection, those are all roots of pride. See, the reason we have to tell someone who we are or what we've done or what we've worked on, where we've worked or who we know or what we know is because we don't think that they know and they need to know so they'll accept us for who we are. That's what we think. That's what the enemy tells us that we have to do. They need to know who I am. They need to know what I've gone through so they can accept me and know that I'm not a perfect. They just need to know, and so we tell them. But that is not really who we are when we're telling them out of pride and insecurity. That's the problem with insecurity. Insecurity will never be a proper spokesperson for who you really are. Insecurity is always propping up pride in your life so that we will never know who we are. Because if we never know who we are in Christ, we will never fulfill our purpose in Christ. And that's what the enemy wants to happen. He wants you to walk around insecure. He wants you to walk around rejected. He wants you to walk around in fear, because out of that insecurity that comes from that, your pride boasts up and it blinds you and you will never walk forward. That's the root. That's really the root. And that is the battle that every one of us has to go through. And we're going to have to learn to fight this battle in the spirit. Do you know that Jesus was tempted in this way just as we are? And Jesus never had to tell anybody who he was. He never once told anybody who he was. Do you know why? Because Jesus knew who he was. As a matter of fact, if you go back to when Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, remember Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, remember he asked you that question? Here's the thing that I really like about that. Jesus never even justified that question, that statement, with an answer. Jesus never said, yes, I am the Son of God. He never boasted like that. He said, you know what he said? He said, the Word of God says, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. He told him what the Word of God said. If you feel like you have to tell people who you are, that is insecurity, and you will never pass the pride test until you can do nothing and be content. And we're supposed to do things we are. And we are all created with a purpose, and a grand one. But we have got to come to a place that our identity is not in what we do, but it is who we are in Christ. You want to know how I deal with this insecurity? I have dealt tremendously with insecurity, which came, you know how it was in me, through fear of rejection. Okay, that was my root of insecurity, because fear of rejection. And I experienced that wound at a young age, as most of us would. But you know what? The Holy Spirit has led me to how to deal with that insecurity in me. By constantly reminding myself, I am a child of the King. Sometimes when I'm feeling insecure, I'll walk into a room, that little insecure thing, no one here is, they don't care about you, they don't love it, and I'll say to myself, sometimes I'll just say out loud, I'm a child of the King. And I'll button my jacket and walk in a room. Do you want to know how I deal with pride? I constantly reminded myself, I was adopted. And that phrase that we've said before, I was a nobody, but God makes me a somebody. That's what I have to say when I deal with my pride. I know that in order for me to stay there in that thinking, I have to stay in the Word every day, because it's in the Word where I clearly see that I was a nobody, destined for hell, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, not by works so that I could boast about it, God has made me a somebody, and He's adopted me into His family, and not only redeemed me, but made me a son and heir to the family. And you get that word from the Word. When you spend time with God, it's the easiest thing to pass the pride test. When you spend time with God, you will pass the test. And you'll see how great He is and how wonderful He is and how small you are. And then that He would use a sinner like you for a big purpose for His kingdom. How would He ever do that? That'll put it in order. And every time we go to a new level of responsibility, we have to pass the pride test. Now, when I became the pastor of Cultivate Church, November will be 3 years ago, the Lord moved me to a new level of responsibility in the spirit and in the natural, but in the spirit. So I'm 3 years into a new responsibility from the Lord. You follow me? And this pride test has come again. But here's how the Holy Spirit has instructed me on how to pass the test now. He's told me over and over again from the beginning. He said, Daniel, be strong and courageous. He gave me that word, Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. But then he chased it down with, do not get confident in your abilities. Be confident in my abilities. Because the moment I get confident in my own abilities, I will block the work of God in my life, and the anointing and the covering of the Spirit of God will be quenched and ultimately removed over my ministry. It will. And guess what I know? I know that you'll know when that happens. If that ever happens, you'll know. You might not know at first, but you'll recognize if I ever start to get away from the Lord, you'll know. You'll be able to tell. You'll know when you're knower. And the only way that I won't get confident in my own abilities, you see, is if I spend time with God. See, that's the key to passing the pride test. Here's what I know. The best thing that I can do as your pastor, and there are a lot of hats that are to be worn, especially now. There are a lot of hats. You know what the very best thing that I could do as your pastor is to spend as much time with the Lord as I possibly can. If I'm spending time with Him, then I will be in a position to be all that He needs me to be for this church family. That is the best way I could ever serve you, is to spend as much time in the Word and in prayer as I possibly can, Monday through Saturday. That's the key of passing the pride test. That's it.